fever, like Stephen King writes horror. If I was a Jew, then I'd light on menorah. I got rhymes for ya, excuse me, senora. Are you a horror? Are you a lady? Is it Eric Boyer or Marsha Bray? Let me know, hun, the deed'll get done. Just us in the position, I'll take my rod and then I'll go fishing. I'll get your river flowing, I'm always in the knowing. It comes to giving pleasure, I'm every woman's treasure. I came to work your body, so let me do my job. I've never been laid off, my rhyme is still paid off. Now I'm making records, now I'm making tapes. Steady busting suckers in bunches like grapes. Making all the page, scooping up the loot. Putting suckers on the run, pull my gun in and I shoot. I never been a front, I never been a fraud. I got a natural skill, but I thank the Lord. Cause I feel blessed, I'm casually dressed. I always got my gun, but I never wear a vest. I'm quick on the draw, like a horse named McCraw. From the cartoon, boom, shalak, lock, boom, shalak, lock, boom.
Okay, that's quite enough of that. It's Tuesday, it is 4:30, which means it is time for Vancouver's preeminent mixed martial arts program, In the Cage with Bards, and because the CBC has rejected me, I am still Carlin Bardsley. It's a special birthday edition of In the Cage. That's right, as of yesterday, I'm another year older and another year, well, just older, really. And not one of you freeloaders got me a present, after all I've done for you two. Ridiculous. At any rate, got a lot to discuss. UFC in Toronto news, our recap of Strikeforce's event this past weekend, and later in the show, we will be joined by the fighters in the main event of this Friday's West Coast Promotions show at the Red Robinson Theater in Coquitlam. So let's get right to it now, shall we? UFC's debut in Toronto is set to be the largest North American MMA event ever. When tickets for the event on April 30th at the Sky Dome, I will not call it the Rogers Center, they were initially left only to UFC Fight Club members who greedily snapped up all 42,000 offered seats. After another pre-sale Friday, tickets were finally made available to the general public Saturday, and all told, every single ticket offer was snatched up for a grand total of 55,000 people who will be in the dome to watch the show headlined by welterweight champion George Rush St. Pierre defending his title against Jake Shields. The expected gate is in excess of $10 million, which nearly doubles the UFC's previous gate record, which was set in Las Vegas for the Chuck Liddell Tito Ortiz rematch. Strikeforce opened their heavyweight Grand Prix tournament this past weekend to absolutely shocking results. We may have seen the last chapter of the career of quite possibly the greatest MMA fighter of all time, the last emperor, Fedor Emelianenko, as he was defeated by a referee stoppage after the second round by Antonio Bigfoot Silva. The first round was close to even with some exciting exchanges, but in the second round, Silva's 55-pound-plus weight advantage, he reportedly weighed 285 pounds on fight night. It really came into play as he was able to hold Fedor down on the mat. Between raining down ground and pound and attempting submissions, Fedor was hands, told his corner he could not see out of his badly swollen eye, and referee Dan Mergliotta called a halt to the proceedings. In the post-fight interview, Fedor hinted at retirement, saying through his translator that it could be his last time in the cage. Strikeforce promoter Scott Coker seemed to hold hope for Fedor's return, perhaps even as an alternate later in the tournament, but what do you expect him to say when his premier attraction talks about hanging it up? The other Grand Prix bout saw Sergei Karatanov turn out the lights on Andrei Arlovsky in the first round and perhaps signal the end of Arlovsky's career. Arlovsky chose to fight from the outside but never really seemed to get his back off the cage before Karatanov found his range with some uppercuts before a right hand connected and left Arlovsky looking up at the lights. The loss is Arlovsky's fourth in a row, with three of them coming by KO. For his own safety, it may be time for the man known as the Pitbull to call it quits. Elsewhere on the exclusively heavyweight card, Shane Del Rosario continues to impress as he defeated tough-as-nails LeVar Johnson by armbar at 4:31 of the first round. Chad Griggs won his second fight in a row, where his opponent was heavily favored when he stopped Gian Vellante by TKO at 2:49 of a wild round one. And Valentine Overeem, veteran of the Japanese MMA circuit and brother of Strikeforce heavyweight champ Alistair Overeem, defeated K1 legend Ray Sefo by neck crank at 1:37 into the first round, showing that while Sefo is an elite-level kickboxer, he lacks the ground skills to compete at this level of mixed martial arts. Also on the show, Gina Carano made an appearance and said that she is returning to the Strikeforce women's division. Carano is still one of the top names in women's mixed martial arts, despite her taking her hiatus to film the Steven Soderbergh-directed movie Haywire. My prediction, she gets an easy fight with some sort of promotional movie tie-in, then gets put back against women's champ Cyborg Santos, who will proceed to devour Carano's soul. After the break, we will be joined by two of the participants of Friday night's main event at the Big Show at the Red Robinson Theater in the Boulevard Casino in Coquitlam. Andrew Sinister Small taking on Murray Showtime Sogan for the West Coast MMA lightweight title, and we'll hear from both of them after the break.
Are you tired of spending your hard-earned money on CDs, compact discs, I mean, DVDs even, whatever, anything that might be better with radio-ness? I'm sick of listening to music without any funny quips in between. No commercials, I mean, come on, what about
Jay,
Mark,
Jason,
the Bear, all those guys? Now you'll never have to miss out on crazy
Mark Farabee.
And Jason,
the Bear,
Paulette,
because
CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver
has come up with their own label. That's right. You can listen to music and never have to listen to... You can listen to music and never have to miss out on the radio-ness.
Listen to Friday Sunrise, Fridays from 7:30 to 9 a.m. on 101.9 CITR with your hosts, Mark Farabee
and Jason Paulette.
Do you want to have your music played? Have your horoscope read, or just
give us some random advice?
Send us an email at fridaysunrise@vanmusic.ca or call us during the show at 604-UBC-CITR or 604-822-2487. Friday Sunrise, Fridays from 7:30 to 9 a.m.
Welcome back to In the Cage with Bards. We are joined now by the two participants of Friday night's main event. They'll be going at it for the West Coast MMA lightweight title. We are joined by Andrew Sinister Small and Murray Showtime Sogan. How are you doing, gentlemen?
Not too bad. How are you?
Great, thank you. All right, let's get right down to business here. Andrew, you're coming off a quick submission win over Russ McCumber at the last West Coast show. The fight only lasted a little over a minute. Are you looking to put on a repeat performance against Murray, or do you see the fight going into the later rounds?
I'd like to. I mean, my last three fights have all been first-round stoppages, but, you know, I always prepare for a full fight. You know, this championship fight is five rounds, so, yeah, I'm ready for anything, but I wouldn't mind a quick finish and get to the after party.
Who wouldn't? Where is the after party?
I think we'll probably go back to Woody's because that's where the weigh-ins are, and I think that's where the official after party is going to be.
Excellent. All right, Murray, it wasn't too long ago we saw you fighting for a welterweight title against Tricky Nick Marinos in an incredible war. Did the loss to Marinos cement your decision to move down to 155, and what advantage do you think fighting in the lightweight division offer you?
It sort of played a decision. I don't really care which weight I fight at, but I just find that my frame is better suited for 155, and if I'm doing lots of cardio work, I end up down there anyway. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, definitely, you know, I like fighting bigger guys, though, because then if you win, you know, you feel great about yourself, and if you lose, you have an excuse. So.
Excellent. Murray, one thing people might not realize about you is the time you spend working with the North Shore Disability Resource Center. If you don't mind, tell us a bit about your work there and what that means to you.
I work with the NSCRC. I have for a couple years. They're a great organization. They help with kids. Teens and adults with varying disabilities from all over Vancouver, and it means a lot to me. I originally just was looking for nonprofit work, and I found them on Craigslist, and you know they paid well, and I gave it a shot, and I turned out to just love it. The kids embraced me, and I get paid to work with kids, so it's not hard work at all, and it's just, you know, it just makes you feel the reason to wake up in the morning.
Excellent. Andrew, your victory over Corey Teed happened on the first event that the city of Vancouver approved, the MMA fight card in over 2 years. It was the Honor Combat Championships card, and had such MMA luminaries as Rampage Jackson and Dennis Kang in attendance. How special was it not only to be on the Welcome Back MMA show for Vancouver, so to speak, but to perform in front of two of the sport's best?
It was awesome. I actually didn't even know that Rampage was in the audience until after I fought, and that being my first fight, I was a ball of nerves, but I mean, after I won and I realized, you know, what where I was and what had just happened, I felt pretty blessed to be able to have done that in front of, you know, celebrity figures like Quinn Jackson and Dennis Kang, who's one of my favorite fighters.
Was it a little bit more motivation for you to look out and see Rampage with his mohawk out in the crowd there, albeit Baraka Stout?
Oh, yeah, I seen him. Yeah, he looked pretty good out there.
Andrew, you're out of Revolution in Langley. Murray, you're out of Elite MMA in North Van. What advantage do you figure your particular camp gives you heading into this matchup? Andrew, we'll start with you.
I'd like to think that Revolution's one of the best gyms in Western Canada. We have some sick guys. I have some really high-caliber sparring partners. And I mean, I'm constantly getting put through the ringer, but guys way more talented than myself, so I'm constantly evolving after every single session because, you know, they beat on me.
Yeah, it stands to reason they would. Murray, how about you? What advantages do you feel training out of Elite MMA and North Van give you?
I love my gym. I train with some really good people. It's a great social atmosphere. And we train hard, we work our asses off in there, but, I'm just bringing myself and some energy to the cage, and, yeah, I love my gym. I trained at a few different places. I train at Griffin's as well, and I train with Raw Vancouver, and, they're great gyms as well, but I wouldn't have gotten back into the martial arts without first starting at Elite, so.
Excellent. Now, if either of you had to compare your style to an already famous fighter, who would it be and why? Andrew, we'll start with you.
I would like to say that I pretty much want my style to be like a Melvin Gallard, even though I'm not his caliber, but I'd really like my striking and speed and athleticism and muscularity, basically, to start emulating Melvin Gallard.
All right, but you're going to lay off the cocaine, right?
Yeah.
depends on whether or not he wins. Or
Murray, how about yourself?
I would have to, if I could be like anybody, I'd probably want to be like Shogun or Vanderlei, just a multi-dimensional striker who's just can hit you from any angle and is still dangerous on the ground. Basically, I wish I was like Shogun with more wrestling skills, but I'm not even a fraction of the way. I try and put on good fights. That's all I want to see. So,
all right. So we could see a Melvin Gallard type against a crazy Brazilian on Friday night, is what you're telling us.
Well, yeah, yeah, we'll see. sounds like you've been haven't been laying off the coke.
Hey, I'm just in the broadcast booth, so you know I'm not getting tested.
There you go.
So. What do both of you think about the struggles that the sport has had here in Vancouver? And in some ways, they continue to face, so we're still in the midst of the so-called trial period, after all. Murray, we'll start with you. What about the incredible uphill battle the sport has had here in Vancouver?
It's a bummer. I remember there was a big MMA expo that was supposed to go on here, and it got canceled for insurance reasons, I believe. I think they were going to try and hold some amateur events, and they weren't even allowed to do that during the expo, so that was kind of a bummer. But Sammy Piccolo, the fellow who's been doing the matchmaking for this event, he's been telling me that he's been trying to get in touch with the mayor, and he's going to try, you know, he's making an active, putting in an effort to try and change these problems, so that'd be awesome, you know. This isn't amateur fighting. Me and Andrew are going to go in there, and we're going to friggin' go for it, right? If Andrew gets a chance to finish me, he's going to do his best to take my head off, and I'm doing the same thing. It's not amateur. You don't learn a difference between amateur knockouts and pro knockouts. It's a knockout. It hurts.
That's a very good point.
We should be getting paid like pros, as far as I'm concerned, because it's not like we're wearing headgear or shin guards. So I really hope they sort it out.
Andrew, how about yourself?
I think all the would-be pros are getting funneled into the amateur leagues because there's no local, you know, pro shows. Everybody's really good at the amateur level in the local Vancouver scene.
Mm-hmm. Is it difficult for you to find fights, now that it's starting to loosen up a bit, are you fighting as often as you'd want to around here, I guess is my question.
It's hard to fight more than like 3 or 4 times a year anyways, because the training camps and the lifestyle is pretty restrictive. You know, you can't really go out and socialize or drink, or you have to follow a diet, and that it gets old. But I'd say that it's not too hard to find fights. But it would be nice if there was pro shows going on a little bit more often.
Murray, are you fighting as often as you'd like around here?
If you want to find fights around BC and on the island and stuff, you can find them whenever you want, for sure. It would just be nicer to you know, really be able to set aside. The more money you make, the more effort you can put into your fights, and then subsequently have better and more high-profile fights. That's the idea, right? So when you're doing the amateur thing, you're juggling a career and you're juggling your spare time and that kind of jazz. If you can get paid as a pro, then it's going to only help your performances, right? So
absolutely. Everyone wins in that scenario.
Yeah, exactly.
What does being the West Coast MMA lightweight champion mean to you? Andrew, we'll start with you.
I think it's definitely a good starting point for where I want to be. Starting out with four wins and an amateur title is definitely in the right direction. And it's a good promotion, and I'd be happy to represent their lightweight division.
Murray, how about yourself?
They seem like a great promotion, but I'm trying not to worry about any kind of title. I'm just focused on, you know, my opponent that's ahead of me. He's a tough dude. I know I got my work squared out for me. And, you know, I just want to have a good performance. That's the only way I'll be able to live with myself, win or lose, at the end of it. So
I see. Now, beyond Friday's fight, I know you're both very focused on the task at hand, as well you should be. But beyond Friday's fight, what are your next goals you'd like to achieve in the sport? Murray?
Probably just fight again. I guess, it always depends on how much time you take off, depending on the result or what have you. But I just want to keep fighting. I want to be an gnarly old vet. Just have seen it all, been there, done that, you know. I just like the sport. I love martial arts. I want to, I'm looking into opening or starting my own gym and stuff like that. Just want to do it because I love it. I'm not worried about being famous or any of that crap. I just like martial arts.
Excellent. And how about yourself, Andrew? Beyond Friday, what would you like to achieve?
Same as Murray. I'll take everything one fight at a time. But long term, if everything goes well, I'd like to eventually turn pro and take a run at, at having a career at it, but it's a very difficult sport. You know, there's so many good guys. As far as making it to the big show, that would be awesome, but I'll take it one fight at a time and one training camp at a time, and as long as I stay off the injury list and keep progressing the way I have, it's not out of the question.
Absolutely not. How do you feel your opponent matches up against you, and what advantage do you think that you bring into the fight? Andrew will lead with you.
I think he's got some unorthodox skills that he hasn't been able to display. I think he's pretty confident with his stand-up, the way he carries himself, and it's going to be interesting. But that being said, I think that I have some pretty slick stand-up, and I think anything that he has, I'll probably have seen it before. But it'll be an exciting matchup either way. I know he's tough, and there's no quit in him, and should be good.
Murray, how do you feel you match up against Andrew?
Andrew pretty much nailed it, yeah. We'll see. I think he's probably got a little bit more ground experience than I do. And, we'll see with the striking. And I think it's a good matchup. And I think it'll be a good fight as long as both of us bring our A game.
Excellent. What other fights on the card are you looking forward to? Are you just so focused on your own that you haven't even had time to look at the card yet, Andrew?
Actually, four guys from our gym, including myself, so three other guys are fighting. Brandon Shorter, Aaron Chin's fighting again. He's coming off a loss, but he's a tough kid. And Jesse, and I don't even know his last name, and I've trained with him for probably 6 months. So Jesse, so there's four guys from Revolution.
I love hearing this.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to all of their fights and my own, of course, and I'm looking forward to having a beer afterwards.
Excellent. Murray, what else on the card are you looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to my buddy Jared Payne. He's going to be fighting. He hasn't fought for about 10 years, but he used to compete in a pretty hardcore Muay Thai scene over in Cambodia. So I'm interested to see how he's going to do. I mean, he's like I said, he hasn't fought for about 10 years, but he's got back into training, and he's got some brass ones, so he just decided to take a fight, and I'm stoked to see him compete because he's a good buddy of mine. So,
excellent. Well, it sounds like top to bottom, it's going to be a great card. I want to thank you both for appearing on the program today. Murray, any last words here for Andrew?
Good luck, man. I look forward to seeing you in the ring, and I hope we put on a good show, and I hope you bring the best that you got, because I'm going to do my best to do the same.
Absolutely, Murray. I won't keep you long.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Thank you both. I'm looking forward to this. The West Coast MMA lightweight title fight. Murray Showtime Sogan, Andrew Sinister Small. Friday night at the Red Robinson I'm going to start again. The Red Robinson Theater and the Boulevard Casino in Coquitlam. West Coast Promotions, Seeing Red to you. And we'll be back to wrap things up on the program right after this.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is Monday.
1 to 3 p.m.
Who is this guy? Does he have a name? Does anybody know where he's from?
From parts unknown.
My name's Chris Horrific.
You always wanted his character to be bigger than life.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is, without question, the greatest sports and entertainment event of all time. Be a part of it. Monday.
From 1 to 3 p.m.
The Parts Unknown Show on 101.9 CITR. Sometimes cosmoses collide.
Break your face.
Old or New Testament?
I think the New Testament.
The question is, Pilate. You remember Pilate from the New Testament?
Pontius Pilate. He fiddled while...
Just a minute. Let me ask the question, then you can give me the answer, okay? Did Pilate want Jesus to be crucified?
Pontius Pilate washed his hands of it.
So did he want him to be crucified?
Yeah.
No. No. No.
Well, tune in every Friday afternoon, 3:30 to the Night Watch Show. What's your job?
Well, find a good church. It'll help you.
And that's about it for me here on In the Cage with Bards at CITR. That is the view from here. Seeing as how we may have seen the last of Fedor Emelianenko, I think it's only fitting we go out on the iconic theme music that he was using in Pride. It's the group Arrow with the song Ene Volare Mezzo. And thanks again to Murray Sogan and to Andrew Small for appearing on the program. And I'm really looking forward to that lightweight title fight Friday night at the Red Robinson Boulevard Casino, Coquitlam. Until next time. The bell has sounded.